Gracious and heavenly Father, you have given us life, salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in him we have conquered death. May today be a day to proclaim. May today be a day in which we rejoice, celebrate, and share together in the oneness we have because of the power of your resurrection. And so we ask you to lead and guide us through your word this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Think about the first Easter morning. Sabbath over, women start out before the sunrise, and for those of you who are here for the sunrise service, what a beautiful sunrise we had this morning. Why did they go so early to the tomb? Because they had not been able to complete all that they had hoped to do on Friday night, and so they set out, knowing what it is that they need to do. In our lives, we set out to do a lot of things. We have a list of things to do, and so did the women that day. And yet, what we see around us are a lot of things that interrupt that. Throughout this Lenten journey, and now Holy Week, we have been working through the various places of the Passion, and so we come to the tomb. And as we come to the tomb, the women come, yes, confident, and yet with a certain amount of fear. The writer of our Lenten series and Holy Week series has a definition of fear: false evidence appearing real. I want you to think about that: false evidence appearing real. The gospel reading for all of our services is from St. Matthew. The center of that gospel is the reality and the truth and the power of the resurrection for your life and my life. Throughout the services and Lent and Holy Week, we have been going to those various places which help us to think about what it means for our Lord to suffer and die and be raised again on our behalf. What are our fears as we live out our time in our world? Once again, Friday, another act of violence. Something we see far too often. Does it make us fearful to go out into public places, not knowing what might be there? The fears race through Jesus' followers. Think about it. On that Thursday night, as Jesus is arrested, what does his followers do? Yes, one will betray him, and we know what happens. One will deny him and must confess his sin. The others all run away. And then as we read the Gospels for Easter, we find those followers, yes, still in fear, locked in a room. Because they had to think about what all had taken place. Yes, think about it. Shaken in disbelief, all the events of this past week, watching their leader, the one who they'd put their total trust in, now being arrested, beaten, humiliated, hung on a cross, and now laying in a borrowed tomb. Questions? I'd love to know some of the questions running through their minds. His ministry? Over? Not sure. His movement? Finished. His cause? Done. Their hope? Is it gone? As the women set out that morning, there had to be a certain amount of fear. Possibly great fear. And then we come to the gospel this morning. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Imagine that, an earthquake. How much fear would that create? An angel of the Lord ascended from heaven and came and rolled the stone away. And look at what happens to the guards. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But it is the angel who says to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Yes, in this gospel reading, look at the instances of fear. Verse 4, the angel said to women, "Do not be afraid." Verse 5, "So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear." Verse 8, "Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid." And then 10. Yes, Easter is to be a time of great joy. The Alleluia has returned. We can sing Alleluia once again. Flowers, music, celebration. However, Easter begins with fear. As hard as we try, yeah, we stuff it. We deny it. Yet for every one of us sitting here this morning, there are some fears. Especially in a time in which we live where there is so much uncertainty. Fear sometimes attacks our sleep, messes with our daily routine. Now we even go to the supermarket in fear. We visit crowded places in fear. We think about possible terrorism. Yes. We even fear that we haven't read the fine print close enough sometimes. Because you see, fear does something for us. You know, we had a president who said, fear is the only thing we need to be afraid of, is fear itself. Well, that's how we live our lives oftentimes in this today's world. The what ifs. The what ifs that continually attack our lives. What if I don't close the sale? What if I don't get the bonus? What if she doesn't love me? What if my kids have crooked teeth? Well, sometimes that's real. Fear twists our lives. It can cause our blood pressure to rise. For others, it gives us headaches. And for others, it causes our armpits to sweat. Oh, we try to numb our fear. For some, we drink too much. For others of us, we eat too much. For some, we sleep too much. Yes, oftentimes we are restless. Yes, and think about it. Here, this group of followers of Jesus have gone through and experienced all of this, and they see the fears that are surrounding their lives, and yet in this gospel, five different times, Jesus had shared with his followers that he must suffer, die, and rise again. Let that sink in for a moment. The disciples knew the message, that this is what their leader would do for them. And what did they choose? Fear over faith. Yes, one denied him, the others ran away. And at the cross, from what we know, there appears that only one of them was even there. First day of the week, we come to it next week, they'll be locked behind locked doors. Fear over faith. False evidence appearing very real. And so today, as you come together, as you celebrate with your families, as you celebrate with your friends, as we come together as a faith community today, do we choose fear over faith? Do we face life and its challenges knowing that all has been taken care of for us? The reality is that each of us should be choosing faith over fear. Listen again to the words of the angel. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." And so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear, but also with great joy. Think about that. As we come together, yes, we bring our fears, but we ought to be celebrating with great joy. And we ought to leave here with the confidence that because he lives, we too shall live. And so today, I just simply invite you, let us overcome the fears that so oftentimes grip our lives. Let us live in the faith that our Lord has given us. He is alive. He has overcome. And he is in total control. We live in the power of the good news. And because he overcame, we too shall overcome. And in him, God has made each one of us alive. Live in that faith and that confidence that there is an empty tomb. And that empty tomb causes us to live in faith. In the full assurance of the forgiveness of our sins, that we have a God who has overcome for us. And yes, if you have small children, don't fear, they'll grow up. Maybe not the way you want them, but they're going to grow up. If you have teenagers, yeah, you don't understand them a lot of the time, but so what? They too, this will pass. Don't fear. If you've had somebody in your life go terribly wrong, don't fear. And when sickness strikes, if we could only just take a hold of that faith, knowing that all will be well in Christ. Don't allow fear to break your heart. Fear? We don't need to fear it because we have these six words. I know that my Redeemer lives. Today, that's what we're here to celebrate. Our Lord lives. We sing beautiful music, and so I invite you to go out, rejoice, celebrate, and live in that proclamation that we today together share. Jesus Christ is risen. Live in that power. Amen. Let's rise as we make confession of our faith as we join together in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. Suffered and was buried. And on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge my baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and only for the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. O gracious Father, help us believe that because Jesus lives, we too are made alive by faith and shall live with him eternally. Risen Lord, live in us, that we may live in you. Lift our vision from sin and death, that we would despair not, grow weary of well-doing as we await the completion of all that our Lord began, and give us the will and the desire to use our days to proclaim his victory to the ends of the earth. Risen Lord, live in us, that we may live in you. Give your blessing to your church and to her ministers, that they be called to faith and repentance, rejoicing in your merciful goodness, and be kept in the faith through the means of grace, until the day when we are raised to everlasting life with Christ. Risen Lord, live in us, that we may live in you. Give courage, discernment to the missionaries far and near and to those planting new congregations, that they abound in the hope of the resurrection, and that those who hear this gospel be granted the Holy Spirit and faith. Risen Lord, live in us, that we may live in you. Consider those whose lives are burdened by afflictions of the body, mind, or spirit, or who seek your healing and strength. Deliver them according to your merciful will. Sustain them in faith until their troubles and trials give way to the blessings of the resurrection and eternal life. And so we pause and reflect upon those who are upon the hearts of those here assembled, that we lift them before your gracious throne, so that you may provide for them that comfort and healing that only you can give. Risen Lord, live in us that we may live in you. Hear your people on behalf of our nation and all of our leaders, on behalf of all peoples and nations, for peace, for justice, for freedom, and for the will of the work together to release suffering and deliver the oppressed.
Risen Lord, live in us that we may live in you.
Guide us in the good use of the time, skills, abilities, and resources you provide, so that we may support those in our care, serve the poor and those in need with the treasures of the kingdom. Accept from our lips the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving, and from our hands the tithes and offerings of a grateful heart. Risen Lord, live in us that we may live in you. Remembering those who came to the tomb in sorrow and returned to their homes with the fear of the Lord in their hearts, receive our thanksgiving for the faithful who have gone before us. Give your comfort to those who grieve the loss of loved ones, and bring with us, with them, into your nearer presence, where sorrow and tears are no more.
Risen Lord, live in us that we may live in you.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Merciful and loving Father, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by our sinful actions and our failures to do the good you desire. We pray that you to grant to the penitent absolution and peace, that freed from the burden of guilt, they enjoy the gift of a clear conscience. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called, ordained servant of Christ, by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. We gather our offering at this time.